Speaking of form and ratings, there is none better than Daniel O'Sullivan. It's good to get a bit of a halfway form guide and ratings analysis of the Spring Carnival. Morning, Daniel. You well?
Hey, Michael. Yeah, really good, thanks.
Gee, it's always good to get what your viewpoints are from the start of the spring to where we are now. We'll start with what seems to be the most talked about category, and that is our top tier, the Wait for Age Group 1 performers heading towards the majors, the Cox Plate. Where you sit right now from what you've seen so far from the leading contenders, is it more clear-cut or is it more open for a Cox Plate?
I think it's more open than ever, Michael, to be honest. I was looking towards the Underwood of perhaps making the Cox Plate picture a little clearer, but if anything, it only made it more competitive and more confusing with Alligator Blood and Moonga finishing in front of horses that were much more fancy in the betting on Sunday and in the Cox Plate, Zaki on Thunderstruck and even Mr. Brightside to a lesser extent. So Animo's there in the background. I think, yeah, it still looks very, very competitive. Obviously, the Mind Power Stakes will hopefully add a bit more clarity, but I definitely think it's a race there to be won this year. It's on pre-race form. It's a much lower standard currently than years gone by. And I think any horse that's emerging, for example, a horse like I Wish I Win, if he can elevate and there may be others, should not be afraid of going for the race, I'd suggest, because it looks very open and could be won in a standard lower than we've seen over the past few years.
I was going to ask you about him, where he sits on figures compared to an Animo at the moment, and if he could win a Toorak. I think Cole Diesel was the last Toorak winner to come through and win a Cox Plate, but it could be a year that it's a good year to have a crack at it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's sitting on 100 rating at the moment, which puts him 2 to 2.5 lengths off those horses that are in the mix for the Cox Plate at Wait for Age. But look, he's a horse running those figures over 1,300 and 1,400 metres, and every single thing about him says that he's going to be better over further. So if he could win or even run well in the Toorak with a rating maybe 101, 102, taking another step beyond his past peak, then it would, you know, position him still off those other chances, but more than capable if he was able to run a new piece on Cox Plate Day that he could put himself right in the mix. As I said, this year's standard looks below previous years, at least on what we know right now. So I think the scene is set for a new horse to emerge and potentially go to the race and be really competitive.
I suppose another one in that category could be Top Ranked if he wins the Epsom on Saturday.
100%. I mean, since he arrived in Australia, that horse, there's been whispers and rumours that he's better than Zaki and he's a top liner. We haven't seen it yet, but his win a couple of weeks ago in Sydney really showed that he's ready to perhaps fulfil that potential. So we'll see how he goes on Saturday in the Epsom, but he's definitely another one that could fit into that boat. So who knows, if a couple of these horses do emerge over the next week or two, then we could be going into the Cox Plate as perhaps, you know, not a vintage edition of the race, but one of the most intriguing in terms of competitiveness.
It could be a similar story for the Caulfield Cup, where so far it's been a struggle to find anything that's really put their hand up. How do you see Dewis's couple of runs this time in? How is she going compared to previous figures?
I think she's going okay, to be honest. I've spent quite a bit of time sort of looking into her form and performances. There's been excuses around those couple of runs. She was quite okay at her most recent start, and I believe she had a little issue 100 metres before the line where she slipped or something like that and just eased up a little bit. So I think she's still on track. Obviously, we want to see in the Turnbull that really, you know, start to stamp her credentials. But I'm certainly not ruling her out yet. It's not to say that I'd want to back her in current markets by any stretch. But I know that Ed Cummings is really focused on one goal, and that's getting her to peak on the right day, whether that's the Caulfield Cup or not, or whether she goes to the Cox Plate, but definitely the Melbourne Cup. So I'm going to say at this stage she's still on track, and I'll be expecting a much improved run from her in the Turnbull.
The Turnbull will tell us a lot because we get to see Inspirational Girl and also Gold Trip. How are those two tracking on ratings?
Well, Gold Trip's a horse that bought figures from overseas that suggest he could measure up in a Cox Plate. I think in our futures preview we did a few weeks ago, I sort of nominated him as a left field horse for the Cox Plate. He certainly hasn't measured up to that yet, but again, he's a horse that it's probably D-Day in terms of stamping some credentials for those bigger races for him. So I'm really looking forward to see if he can take that next step and get to a figure that suggests he could go to a race like the Cox Plate and be competitive.
Has there been a horse so far this spring that in your ratings has really stepped up that you're keen to look at and follow in one of these major races?
Look, not at this stage. I think I mentioned in our preview I was really keen on Dover Legend at the time for the Melbourne Cup, and I think he's still my standout selection for that race. He's obviously shortened dramatically since then with a win overseas and some of the opposition has fallen away, especially the overseas opposition. I think the Caulfield Cup is still very much a lottery, perhaps one of the more difficult races of the spring to forecast it at this stage. As I said, I think Jewett is still well on track, but we want to see him do something in the Turnbull.
Three-year-olds are more exposed now, and the question last time we spoke at the start of spring was the two-year-olds and those top-line two-year-olds, how they would transfer to three-year-olds in it. From a Caulfield Guineas point of view, it is the new kids on the block that appear to be dominating. How do you see the Caulfield Guineas? Is it Godolphins to lose?
I think at this stage, I mean, they've clearly got, we know that Jack and I won't go there now, or I assume it's extremely doubtful given he's in the Everest. Are they on the same day this year? I'm not sure. So Ash Cabot and Golden Mile, clearly the two best chances. That Golden Rose is proper form, clearly the strongest three-year-old form of the season so far. So even horses that I think finished, you know, well beaten in the Golden Rose could potentially come to Melbourne in a Caulfield Guineas or even a 1,000 Guineas as far as the fillies go and measure right up there. So I do think Aftabin, Golden Mile actually holds a higher rating than Aftabin at the moment out of his Golden Rose performance. Albeit the day that Aftabin won the Prelude was a very difficult day to assess horses with the rain on the day. Some horses didn't handle it and we saw some big margins in races and so on. So there's perhaps not a lot of confidence in splitting those two, but on the figures that are allocated, Golden Mile has a slight edge, but he's longer in the market at the moment.
What do you make of Barclay Square, who was so impressive at Flemington?
Look, I really liked him from the time he won at Geelong, and I thought he was a very promising middle distance horse, and I still believe that. I'd have to say, though, that Melbourne form looks, you know, quite a level or perhaps a level and a half below what's typically needed to win a Caulfield Guineas, even in an average or below average year. So, yeah, look, I think those horses at this stage are battling to measure up to the Aftabins and perhaps the form coming down from Sydney. But, yeah, I really do like him as a horse. And whenever it happens to occur, I'm looking forward to seeing him stretching out in trip further and getting up to 2,000 and potentially beyond that.
The Guineas for the fillies is a little bit more open, and Boogie Dancer, the local form down here, she's been brilliant, especially on a wet track. The X factors and the question marks of the Sydney fillies, in secret, there's talk more likely she's heading to a Coolmore or maybe even an Everest slot. And then you've got Zagotcha and Fireburn who could come through the major races up there in Sydney. Do you have the Sydney fillies rating better than the Melbourne fillies?
In secret, most definitely, but like you just suggested, I'll be surprised if she goes to that race. Not that I have any particular sort of insight there to feel that the Coolmore is perhaps a better race for her, even though she could no doubt win 1,000 Guineas. Look, I've personally got Boogie Dancer at the moment on par with those Sydney fillies. I really liked her win in the Prelude. Again, it was on that same day where it was difficult to assess performances with confidence because of the deteriorating track and some horses not handling it. But even putting that aside, visually I really like what she done. When she was asked for an effort, she showed a turn of foot straight away, and it was a really good turn of foot. She went from, you know, a few lengths off the lead to a few lengths in front in the space of a furlong, and to me that acceleration is always a sign of a quality performance, whatever number we end up putting on it. So I think at this stage she measures up to those Sydney fillies for me. Whether she can do it on a track that's, you know, perhaps a good four or soft remains to be seen. But yeah, I think she deserves to still be very much in the mix for the 1,000 guineas with those filly coming down from Sydney, but historically perhaps a little more fancy.
And in the sprinters category, Nature Strip has a stranglehold on the Everest market, as you would expect after that first up run around about $2.10. The X factor is Jackano. On Jackano's win in the Golden Rose, do you give him a chance of knocking off Nature Strip in an Everest?
If Nature Strip runs to his best, there's nothing in that field that will beat him. I think that's been, you know, well discussed by plenty of people and commentators and analysts, and I can only agree 100% with that. He's on a world-class level, best sprinter in the world, and none of these horses are close to that. As far as all of the other contenders go, I think Jackano measures up as well as any of them and is a legitimate top three chance, even if Nature Strip does run to his best. If Nature Strip were to fail on the day, then it's an extremely open race with any of the current slot holders capable of winning, including Jackano. His win on Saturday, last Saturday in the Golden Rose, was every bit as impressive as it visually appeared. He ran monster sectionals, fast time. I wrote in my piece for racing.com that it's extremely rare to see a horse run at a good meeting, like we saw on Saturday, to run the fastest time rating of the meeting and also be right up there with the fastest last 200. There's normally an inverse relationship between time and closing speed. And when I looked back through my database over the last 5 or 6 years, the only three-year-old that I've got that have achieved that sort of feat in such a high-performance rating, you're talking about horses like Nature Strip when he was a three-year-old, Bivouac, Astern, Exceedance, Russian Camelot, Arcadia Queen, and those type of horses. So it was just another stamp on Jackano's performance that it does measure up and benchmark as legitimately Group 1 class. And look, he's still an early three-year-old that perhaps has some further scope to improve. Yes. Also by Rubik, improved out of his Golden Rose run to win the Everest. The little query I have with Jackano is I do think he's best suited to 1,400 and back to 1,200, especially if he draws wide. I do worry that he's going to be a little bit outpaced early and perhaps get too far back and leave himself too much to do. But, yeah, that aside on quality, he's right up there with all the other chances behind Nature Strip.
Daniel, it's been good to get a halftime report. We'll catch up towards the end of the Spring Carnival as well, but at this stage, there's no standouts, as we've been saying for a while, especially at the elite level, other than Nature Strip in the sprinters. So, fingers crossed we get to see some emerging stars over the next couple of weeks. Appreciate your time, Daniel.
My pleasure. Good punting to everyone.